Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn app.
Lauren Robinson.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lauren Robinson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it. We got Alex Azarn producing. I will be with you for the next 3 hours. And we got March Madness. Of course, brackets. We'll break them down. I will have Zach Braziller from the New York Post, an expert on all things college basketball. He'll join me. That's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll give you pointers. We'll give you tips on how to win your bracket. We'll also talk about what are the snubs and all the locals, who's going where, upset specials. And, of course, it is time for you to make your predictions. Who do you got? Who do you see? What's your upset special? And who do you have going to the Final Four? Who do you have winning it all? 888-808-1019. So we'll get to that. In addition, last week when I was on a week ago this time, I do my weekly show, and we talked about, hey, coming up this week, free agency for, NFL free agency, Giants, Jets, everybody else. Well, here we are a week later, first week into NFL free agency, Giants and Jets, two of the more active teams. And how does that, what implications are there out of all that activity? What does it mean in terms of as we look ahead to the draft? Of course, the Jets with two first-round draft picks, drafting number two overall. The Giants, and they're drafting number five overall. So I'm going to have a guest for you with that. Dan Duggan from The Athletic going to join me. We're going to talk about the Giants and free agency and their draft and the rumors. Might they take a running back? Top five draft pick overall, Jeremiah Love. Giant fans feeling a little burned by that before. Is it okay now? The Harbaugh effect in terms of free agency. So we'll talk all about that. That's coming up at 9:40. And, of course, we've got big things going on in spring training. Yankees and Mets both playing today, and some interesting interesting things going on. Francisco Lindor making his debut in spring training, played for the first time in a game in spring training this year. And, he seems to be on target, on track to start opening day. What does that mean? The roster, all of that. And the Yankees, some important things there, including Luis Gil had a terrible outing today, blew up, gave up 7 runs. What does that mean in terms of the Yankees and his spot in the rotation, all of that? So we have that. And, oh, by the way, the Knicks are playing. And, oh, by the way, did I happen to mention the World Baseball Classic going on right now? So here's the thing. If you would like to watch the World Baseball Classic, but call in and talk about it as we go, you can do that as well. There is an absolute heavyweight battle going on in Miami with Team USA and the Dominican Republic, and we'll keep an eye on that. So I was absolutely dialed into that until, got on here in the studio. It looks like it is 1-1, game tied up. It was 1-0. Huge play, huge situation in the game, runners on second and third, that pertains to Team USA, but also pertains to us around these parts. Runners on second and third, and one out, and Aaron Judge steps up to the plate. Luis Severino, former Yankee, former Met, pitching for the Dominican Republic, and ends up striking out Aaron Judge and striking out Kyle Schwarber back-to-back. And so Aaron Judge, I asked this question on Twitter, on X, by the way, at L Rubinson, WFAN, if you want to follow me there. I asked this question on Twitter and said, if you are a Mets fan, who are you rooting for in this World Baseball Classic? What are the rooting interests? Because you've got, Aaron Judge sitting there, team captain on the one hand. On the other hand, you got Juan Soto sitting there, with the Dominican Republic. I'm curious where Mets fans' allegiances are on this. And so far, the comments I'm getting sounds like people are rooting for Team USA, but rooting against Aaron Judge and for Soto. If there's a way to split, I mean, talk about kind of being in a mental pretzel, mental gymnastics of trying to figure all of that out. Sounds like that's going on. So, all right, we got a lot to do tonight, and your calls, your tweets, your posts, all of that, 888-808-1019. We're going to start, of course, look, it's Election Sunday, and in terms of the brackets and, you know, big picture overall, I would start with, I think there is a little vulnerability with the one seeds. So if you're filling out brackets and you're looking at things, I think Arizona is a one seed that comes into the tournament hot. But when you look at some of the others, I'm not telling you, first round, go with your one seeds. But if you're looking for some stuff, whether it's injuries, whether it's a slip up in performance, some of that, I'm just saying, I think it could be a little bit less chalk, perhaps, getting to Indianapolis as maybe in past years. And let's talk about the local teams, where they're going. And I asked that question before about, you know, there's snubs. There's like, you know, who got snubbed by the committee? And most years, a lot of times we're talking about it's this team got left out. And you can say, you know, maybe, you know, should Auburn have been in? Did, you know, I don't know, University of Miami, Ohio, did they deserve to be there? Or, you know, did this one or that one, looking at all of it? You can make the case for that. But to me, in terms of a snub, I'm going to stay local and say St. John's with a five seed just seems like, I don't, here's what I don't understand is Purdue seems to have come from out of almost, you know, I'm not going to say nowhere. They started the season really strong. They hiccuped and lost a few games in the middle of the season. And then they closed strong by winning their conference tournament, by winning the Big Ten tournament. And I'm not diminishing that with a win over Michigan, University of Michigan. I get it. They just beat a one seed there. Like, I get it. Okay. So what obviously the committee is saying there is, hey, winning a conference championship matters. And finishing on a hot streak, finishing strong, matters. So we're going to take Purdue and we're going to elevate them all the way up to a two seed. That's fine. Purdue is now a two seed. Okay. But if you're going to do that, then doesn't the same logic say, and I get, big, you want to tell me Big Ten is a stronger conference? That might be. But St. John's winning not just the Big East regular season, but the Big East conference tournament and doing it the way they did decisively over UConn. And Connecticut is a two seed. Rightfully so. That's fine. UConn is a two seed. By the way, if UConn beats St. John's in that conference tournament at Madison Square Garden, if UConn had beaten St. John's in the conference tournament, there was discussion that UConn could have elevated up to being a one seed. When Florida goes ahead and gets knocked off by Vanderbilt, UConn had a chance to elevate to being a one seed. Doesn't happen because they lose and lose decisively to St. John's in the conference tournament in the finals. Okay. But how UConn then is a two seed. Fine. Body of work, the whole season, the whole shebang. I get it. One of the best, you know, teams in the country. They would have been a one seed until recently, and then they falter a little bit. Bad loss late. Okay, fine. So they're a two seed. Could have been a one seed if they had beaten St. John's in the conference tournament in the finals. But no, they're a two seed. St. John's beats a two seed, borderline one, beats a two seed, and ends up a five? Not a four? That seems a little nuts to me. And then when you look at it, what does that mean? And where do we net out there? then Duke, when I look at the number one overall seed in this whole tournament, supposed to be the best number one seed, is Duke in this tournament. They're the one of ones in this East region. On top of this, they end up putting Duke, UConn, Michigan State with Tom Izzo, Kansas, fine, great player, one of the best players, freshman in the country who will probably, who will be a top three draft pick with Kansas. Okay, fine, but still. And then St. John's is the 5 seed. That is such a tough bracket. Brutal bracket, really tough. And from a committee standpoint, you're putting UConn and St. John's both in the same bracket. And Duke is just putting St. John's as a number 5. I think that makes them by far the best 5. And now you're the number 1 seed, one of ones, Duke, and you get stuck with St. John's, the best 5. Plus Tom Izzo, plus Hurley, plus Bill Self. It's like the Hall of Fame coaching bracket. So, in terms of, I just don't think the conference, I don't think they did Duke any favors there with that bracket. Most difficult, in my opinion. And I think that if you're looking for a snub, there's nothing terrible in terms of, last out and, or first one's out, last one's in, first one's out, all of that. You want to make a case for some of those like Auburn and be burned because they played such a difficult strength of schedule. You want to turn around and look at a team like University of Miami, Ohio, and say they, weakest schedule, all fine. But to me, the snub that I look at it, it's more about seeding. St. John's, I think. That seems unfair to me. Now, in terms of fun stuff and who's playing where and all that kind of stuff, and I would say to you, in terms of here, let's the locals. So fun matchups. I have my notes here. Fun matchups and locals. I'll give you a fun matchup right away. Is speaking of Duke. They're playing Siena and coached by former Syracuse great Jerry McNamara. So as first round matchups go, that one has a little juice, will be a little bit fun. Villanova's got Utah State. That one could be a little fun. Wisconsin versus High Point, if you're looking for a potential 5-12 matchup where maybe you get an upset there. That one could be a little bit fun. Then, University of Pennsylvania, they're not a local per se, but not so far away. Penn upsetting Yale for the Ivy League title. Terrible decision by Yale not to foul up 3 with only a few seconds left. They allowed the game to be tied on a 3 and go to overtime and lose. And just something also that's fun to watch out for. Hard to believe stat, filing this in hard to believe. University of Nebraska, it's a big time. We're used to it in football or whatever, Nebraska. Nebraska has never, ever, Nebraska's won as many NCAA conference tournament games as you have, which is 0. Nebraska has never won one. So Nebraska versus Troy, They're 0-8. Will they break through and win one? All right, in terms of setting the scenes and where are the locals, St. John's, as I said, a 5 seed. They'll play Northern Iowa. Here's another thing. They're in the East region, so that sounds good, right? You figure, they'll play close to home. They're playing in San Diego. So the committee is shipping St. John's saying, thank you for playing. You're one of the hottest teams in the league. You finished super strong. You are, it's the only time in Big East Conference history that a team won the regular season and the conference tournament in back-to-back years. And this team finishes strong, plows through University of Connecticut at Madison Square Garden in the tournament final, and win that. And for their troubles, they're getting shipped all the way out to San Diego. And oh, by the way, a second round matchup potentially between Rick Pitino and Bill Self versus Kansas, which will be fun for a lot of reasons. Obviously, the Hall of Fame coaching matchup is really fun, but also, I don't know, maybe a little bit of an interesting game there for Zuby Ejiofor, who originally starts his college career at Kansas before coming to St. John's. So that'll be a little bit of a storyline there that'll be kind of fun. And UConn draws Furman for their first round matchup. They'll be the tournament, obviously, as a 2 seed, was kinder to them. They're playing in Philadelphia to start. And if they, you know, interesting there is you figure UConn beating Furman, no offense to Furman, but it's a 2 versus a 15, although sneaky guard for Furman and Alex Wilkins. But UConn obviously does not come into the NCAA tournament on a roll, and they're going to have to figure that out. Offensively, they were dreadful versus St. John's. Some of that is St. John's defense, but offensively, Danny Hurley and his staff is going to have to figure that out. And because pretty soon they could be heading towards a showdown with UCLA and Mick Cronin. And interesting also, I don't know if you saw this, but after the UConn St. John's matchup, when asked about it, Danny Hurley said that why'd your team lose? Why'd your team have such a tough time? And one of the things he said, and he was complimentary of St. John's, very complimentary of Zuby, you know, all of that. But he also did talk about how the Big East tournament is reffed differently. Refs allowing that it's a much more physical league, and that when you get to the NCAA tournament, therefore, the implication being it's going to be ref differently and less physicality, more fouls called, and that would be better for his team in UConn. But the flip of that is, it'd be interesting, is what, if any, you know, will that be something that St. John's needs to adjust to? So kind of curious about that.